Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Good evening, and thank you for joining another Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm excited to be here with you once again. I have my co-host, Shirley Carter. Shirley, are you there?
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us this evening, and welcome to another beautiful fall day that we had. So I'm excited about our guest tonight, Val.
Yes, I'm excited. You know, October is tomorrow, the 1st of October. And October is Domestic Violence Month, where we bring awareness to domestic violence, which is one of the worst-kept secrets of America. Nobody wants to admit that it exists, even though so many individuals, if they're not personally involved with a domestic violence situation, they know somebody who is. So throughout the month, well, I talk about domestic violence all the time because the Soul of a Woman Foundation is an organization geared toward domestic violence and children in single-parent homes. It's also Cancer Awareness Month, and I know that is dear to you as well, Shirley.
Yes, it is. Very dear to me, being a two-time survivor of breast cancer. And having an organization myself and, you know, just being bringing about awareness. There's so much to be said and done for the month of October, like you said, domestic violence and breast cancer. You know, it's a busy, busy month. You know, I have an event coming up in on the 17th of October. And there's every week, actually, I have at least two or three things to do for the month of October, so it's very busy for me, and I'm just looking forward to bringing about more awareness on it all.
Yes, and in the midst of that, you know, we go about our daily lives, you know, we are all emotional creatures. It's been said that women are the most emotional creatures on the planet, and we are. But, you know, men go through emotional breakdowns, too. That's why there's a lot of suicides amongst men and, you know, women. But more so the men lately have been taking their lives. But, you know, in the midst of that, we have individuals to be able to communicate and share with us because depression is a silent killer. We hide behind masks every day. We've gone through situations, and they're so heartbreaking to you can't even speak about it. It's like it takes your breath away. Well, tonight I want you to breathe. It's okay to breathe. It's okay to exhale. I have with me Helen Kennedy, who's an author of the book He Heals the Brokenhearted. She's also an inspirational speaker and a life coach. And Helen, are you there?
I am here, Valerie. Good evening to you and to your co-host, Shirley. God bless you both and to all of your radio audience tonight. I'm so glad and very thankful and humble that you've asked me to be a part of your show this evening.
Well, you know, first of all, your book, I mean, I am sure that it is going to help set a lot of individuals free, both men and women, and, you know, young adults. You know, Helen, it's been, it's just hard to fathom that teenagers between, you know, starting at 13 on up, you're going through relationship issues where their heart is broken and they feel that life is over because somebody broke up with them. And, you know, if we're adults feeling the same way that young people feel when they're going through a breakup and their life has really just begun, they have all of the years before them. It's just hard to fathom that the mindset of individuals are as it is.
Absolutely, Valerie. And what I have found through coaching and spiritual life coaching, that it's even younger now than teenagers. You have 7, 8, and 9-year-olds that are under such pressure.
Wow.
They are depressed. They are very heavy burdened, and they carry the weight of life. And in light of the economic depression that we're in, the murder and suicide rate that's around, the drug abuse and everything, younger children, 8 and 9. I have several people that I'm acquainted with that are involved in child care or early childhood learning, and they are seeing it too. Children are carrying the burdens today that when we were growing up, we didn't even think about. We didn't think about where our next meal was coming from. We didn't think about what clothes we were going to put on the next day, but this is a real issue for even the younger generation today.
Wow. Now, your book, He Heals the Brokenhearted, what prompted you to write that book?
Well, and the subtitle of it is Living and Loving After Rejection. So
wow.
I am dealing with the rejection issue. My heart was broken. My heart was broken. And while it is not really a medical condition, doctors have found that persons who have been severely traumatized by soul pain, heart pain, actually it releases a chemical in their brain that causes damage to the heart.
Wow.
So, yes, yes. So the book came because I experienced a breakup after an engagement, and it was suddenly, I had no idea that it was coming. I consider myself a very discerning person, but I didn't see this. I couldn't see it. I didn't see it, and it was a shock to me. I worked in family law for the past 15 years. I've been off now for 2 years, but for 15 years I have dealt with broken families, and every day I was listening to the pain of husbands and wives who were rejected by their spouses, who they committed to live the rest of their lives with. And I was there as a listening ear and offering words of consolation in the midst of doing my job. But even though I was divorced at 21, I was so out of touch with the emotional trauma that goes along with divorce, separation, infidelity, and yes, domestic violence or sexual abuse inside of marriage. And so when this happened to me, immediately I was emotionally traumatized. And I'm 58 years old. I'm not ashamed to say it. At 56 years old, or 55 years old, almost 56 years old when this happened, never would I have thought that I would think about going back to drinking, which I haven't done for 30-some-odd years, getting high on drugs, in fornication, I mean, even suicidal. and it happened. It bum rushed me. And I found myself, I tried to go to work the day after the breakup. I couldn't stay there an hour. And I found myself in a room, in my bed, in a fetal position, wanting to die, not knowing how I was going to face the world. But not only that, wondering what I had done wrong. And a lot of times when we are rejected, we feel like it's our fault. And mm-hmm. so my healing process and out of me being healed as I was led by the Holy Spirit, he enabled me to just pin my thoughts. And Valerie and Shirley, I have to say, that as I began to write, I had to go back even into my childhood. And things began to come up where I had experienced rejection, not knowing that's what it was. Many times family members who consider themselves to be the black sheep of the family, that really is a symptom of rejection.
Wow. Okay, so in discovering this, you know, because, you know, what you're saying is just so amazing and so baffling at the same time, because here you are, it wasn't the first time you had been in love and wasn't the first time that, you know, you had walked away from a relationship, but yet you found yourself in this situation where you felt like your world was over. What was that like? And because I know that there's plenty of individuals listening saying, I've been there, and I'm mm-hmm. still there. And I don't even know how I got to that point where I felt like it was over. What was it for you, do you feel, that caused that shift in your thinking that stripped you away from the esteem of knowing who you were? Because that's ultimately what was going on here, was that you started doubting who you were, your significance.
You know, that's a good question, and that is really something that I delved into in this process. I hope it's to say that I am a pastor. And have been in ministry for about 20 years now. And I was married 26 years before my husband passed away due to lung cancer. And that happened quickly. Even the diagnosis, between the diagnosis and him passing, was only about 6 weeks. But I have to tell you, because of my faith and our faith, our family faith, I was able to endure that, and the preparation and the home going for my husband was something that I wouldn't trade in the world. And it was 7 years later that I met this person who also happened to be a pastor and a widow. And, you know, when it ended, I came to a place only to realize I always felt like I needed someone to complete me, or that I needed to be completing someone else. Now, mind you, we're different. Male, female, we're different. I love marriage. And if it happens, you know, it's just going to happen. I'm very in a contented state, and that's where I was when I met this gentleman several years ago. I was very contented in ministry, in doing my business, working in the law firm, so I was fine. This caught me or brought me to a place where I had to realize that I was already completed. And that's what I learned walking out my brokenheartedness, that I was already complete, and that I didn't need anyone else to validate me. About 25, 30 years ago, I had a situation in my marriage, and I was very angry. Almost fed up, disgusted with my husband. It was a season. You know, we have those seasons. Mm-hmm. And I was going around with this smile on my face and, you know, appearing that everything was well. And I was on my way up north to speak to a group of women. And as I was traveling, the Holy Spirit said to me, Helen, you walk around here and you always say all is well, but all is not well. And I want you to tell me when you hurt, when you're angry, when you're fearful, when you're sad. And so as he began to give me those instructions, that opened up another line of communication between me and the Spirit. Okay, in this situation, and back then he gave me Hebrews chapter 4, and he says, we have a high priest who has been touched with the feeling of our infirmity. So I had him, and he, knowing that he knew what I was experiencing, knowing that I could just say, Father, I don't feel good. Father, I don't want to live. I had to acknowledge my hurt. I had to acknowledge my pain. I had to acknowledge that I didn't feel worthy. And so after going through all of that and him letting me know, you know what? I love you. I made you. There is no one else who is like you, and I have a specific purpose for your life. So I had to make the mental shift that this breakup and my heartbreak was not going to take me out. It took 9 months. It took 9 months. But the moment that I made the decision that I was not going to live the rest of my life wondering what it would have been like, is he happy? I mean, I went through a whole bunch of things. As a matter of fact, on the 25th of this week was the date that we were engaged. On the 29th is the day that the engagement was called off. Now, you know what? I'm just remembering that. I'm just now, as we're talking, remembering that it's been 3 years now. So I had to walk through the whole forgiveness and all of that, and I'm here to tell you, you can forgive and forget. Because I forgot until we just talked about the date. So I'm not playing the anniversary over in my head and all of that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's great. And one of the things I'm glad that you went on and revealed is the fact that you're in leadership, you're a pastor, you have a flock of people that are relying on you for spiritual encouragement and spiritual growth, yet you went through this transition.
I went through this transition. And I also went to see a psychologist who was not a Christian psychologist, but she offered me some very useful advice. It's one that we worked with in our firm and we sent all of our clients to. And I tell you that I'm glad that I went. I'm glad that my boss insisted that I go, because she gave me some very valuable tools, and she helped me to understand the grief.
Wow. Now, being that you're in leadership, a pastor, and you have people coming to you all the time that are broken, that have gone through relationships, gone through the death of a loved one, or been really in love with someone who wasn't in love with them. And, you know, in leadership, I'm in ministry as well, which my listening audience know I'm not a pastor, but I am a minister. But how do we deal with individuals? Because you said you went to get counseling. How do you deal with individuals who are there in a church and they're sitting under leadership and yet they're bleeding? They're going through this brokenness and leadership is saying, pray your way through it.
I'm not one of those leaders that just says, pray your way through. There are very definite steps that must be taken. And as a matter of fact, 2 days after I went through my experience, I had one of my parishioners to come to me. And I had to set my own grief aside and deal with her. But in ministry to her, I was helping me. Mm-hmm. So, and that, you know, that comes from a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The word says that when we are weak, then he is strong. So it wasn't out of my strength that I ministered to those other individuals. It's out of his strength. And then at night, I go home, and then I have my pity party, or I wet my pillow with tears all night long until that healing takes place in me. And it's very real, and I deal with a lot of pastors' wives. I even have husbands that come to me to open up and share. And the one thing that I can say is you have to confront. You have to acknowledge. You have to confront. You have to know what you're dealing with. Many times through my walking out, I had to confront this person. And he was not the same person that I had met and courted for several months. He definitely wasn't the same person. But it wasn't about his response to me. One, I needed to know the truth, so I had to confront some things. Number two, I had to forgive him. I had to forgive him. And in the book, I describe one of the images that the Holy Spirit gave me was that of coronary artery disease or heart blockage, blocked valves. And what he showed me was just like blocked valves. Well, one of the symptoms is shortness of breath, fatigue, and pain. When we're emotionally hurt and going through depression and all of the stages of it, when we're hurt, when we're suffering, and when we choose not to forgive those who offend us, then we block blessing, we block healing, we block ourselves from going to where we're supposed to go. And so I had to call him several times because lip service, I said, I forgive you, but in my heart, I was still aching. I still wanted him to hurt like I was hurting. So 3 or 4 times I had to go to him, and his response, and it was the Lord leading me, and his response was, well, what are you talking about, Helen? I mean, he was very negative on his end, but I had to bypass that because this was about me. And I have more confidence now, more self-esteem now that I have gone through this. that I probably would not have if we'd have gone ahead and gotten married. It would have been some other things going on. But one of the things you have to acknowledge, you have to believe that you can be healed, that you can get over it. I was married at 16. That was a very physically abused relationship that lasted about 3 years. There were a lot of things that were done, a lot of vicious things that were done to me. But I was able to forgive my first husband and actually lead him to the Lord. And when he passed away, assist his wife, you know, with burial and all, because we had two children. So you can forgive. You can move on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't really release that other person, then you're not releasing yourself, and you will not be whole, W-H-O-L-E. And God wants every one of us to be whole.
Mm. Now, in this situation you found yourself in, he heals the brokenhearted. You said that it was a 9-month process.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing because, you know, when I went through my divorce, it took me 9 months before I felt that I can even breathe on my own. It's like God had me in a cocoon and just had me there, just giving, had me there on life support. I was existing, but I wasn't living. I was going through the motions. And a lot of individuals that find themselves in this state of, it's depression. It's depression.
Yes.
You know, the first thing you did was you was like, what did I do? What have I done? And the truth of the matter is we don't do anything the majority of the time. Sometimes it is a situation where it is something that is brought on because the two are basically not for each other. But in situations where one of the partner leaves, it has nothing to do with you. It's if they're not ready and if they're not willing to accept you, the whole you, the total you, then
mm-hmm.
that person isn't for you in the first place. And that's
mm-hmm.
one of the things that we as individuals need to know and need to understand is that we can't make anyone love us. We
mm-hmm.
can insist that they stay, beg them to stay, don't leave, don't leave, don't leave. But I look at my own situation. Here I was married for 19 years to somebody who was physically abusive to me. But yet I was willing to stay in that situation because of the fact that I didn't think I had any other option. And he was the father of my four children. And I
mm-hmm.
had become adapted to living in that situation. So living in that turmoil up and down, I didn't know to expect better. I didn't know that there would be better because I felt like a whole lot of individuals that are in Christendom think that once you marry for life, good, bad, evil, indifferent, whatever it is your lot. That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, staying in relationships actually ultimately hinders you from your purpose and the destiny that God intended for you in the first place. There is always more. There is always more for every individual. There's always more. And what did that more look like to you after you had your aha moment?
Okay. Can I just backtrack for a minute? Because we're focusing on man-woman relationship, but I need to deal with parent-child. Because
mm-hmm.
as I was writing, something came up in me where I felt rejection from my father.
Mm.
And whether or not whether or not on his part he can acknowledge or admit or even felt that way, for me it was real. For me it was very real. I got pregnant at 15, and we always took summer vacations together. And this particular year, I couldn't go. And so I was sent to live in a home for unwed mothers while they took vacation. I was there from the 1st of July until after I had the baby, which was in mid-October. And not one time did my father come see me. And I have to say, when I was writing this book, that I was led back to that place and what I felt then. And I have to say, the honesty of it is that my pregnancy, my rebellion, my drug addiction as a teenager, it caused him sorrow and shame. And it's like he turned his face from me. That hurt me. That hurt me. That was rejection. That hurt me. And when you go through that, so I have it from an abusive husband at 16, because we were made to get married back then. And then I have my father rejecting me. Well, my life spun out of control. My life spun out of control. And I was on a 10-year of drug addiction and just wild living. We have young people today, so it's not just husband and wife. And sometimes we find ourselves in relationships because of what we have experienced as children.
Yes.
Children can't identify rejection.
Right.
All they know is that they're hurting. They're hurting. They really don't know why they're hurting. And many of them can sometimes feel that their mommy or their daddy doesn't love them. I'm talking young children. And this is what I hear when I deal with the little bitty children. When parents leave and walk away, I just met a gentleman who just found out that the person he thought was his father was not his father. He's almost 40 years old.
Wow.
So, Rejection, hurt, it goes a long way. It goes a long way. And to those of you that are on the call tonight, I just want to say to you here that you have a God who loves you. And this was my wow moment. I realized that I have a God who loves me and loved me through all of my mess, all of my disappointments, all of my letdowns, all of my failures. He did not stop loving me. Or when I took that half a bottle of Excedrin PMs, then he would not have spared me then. When I was in a rollover car accident, he would not have spared me. But he has a purpose for me. And what I went through in September of 2011 helped me to come in full identification of my purpose, that I am here and I was left here to help someone else cross the bridges that I have come over. And I can only do that because my Savior did it. And I don't mean to sound preachy, but that's the reality. He's the one that saved me. He's the one that healed my broken heart.
That's the truth. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. You know, I always tell my listening audience, you know, if you don't believe in a power higher than your own, then you just messed up. Because if your thinking has gotten you to where you are right now, then there is nothing else.
Yes. And one of the things that I had to do was celebrate how much he loves me. I had to celebrate his love for me. And so rejection, because the word even tells us he was rejected.
Yes.
He was bruised. He was wounded. And he did it for us. So if it didn't kill me, then I'm alive and I'm going to live. And I'm going to love. I'm going to love my life. I've seen the brother, and we can talk. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. It's in my memory, but the sting of it is no longer there. I'm healed, so we can be in the same room, have been in the same room. And it's all good. I can smile. I can talk. It's as though when I'm in a room with him, because we have to come together at times because of ministry, when we're in the same room together, it is as though he's just another minister in the room. And I'll have to add this part to it. We had no sexual relationship. Our first kiss was the night of our engagement, like 90 days out from our meeting. Mm-hmm. So there was no sexual soul tie. Soul ties are not formed merely by sexual interaction. We had spiritual interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And that tie was just as strong.
Wow, thank you so much for clearing that up so that the audience can know, because, you know, we talk about soul ties here on this show. As a matter of fact, Shirley and I, we did a show on soul ties. Was it a year ago, Shirley?
It was a year ago in February we did it.
Yeah.
Because that was the month we usually do relationships.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and I want to say something, Helen. I have a question for you, if you don't mind breaking your point at this point. I don't want to get too far away from it, and I'm still holding on to this fact that you said it was 9 months. And when I hear that 9 months, it's almost like you had to birth all of that out of you. Like you carried it for 9 months, and then you were able to birth it out. And that's when your healing started. But in the meantime, you were impregnated with all of this hurt and pain.
Yeah.
One of the questions I have for you during that time, being that you are a minister, can you tell that audience, or did you continue to minister to people? Who ministered to you besides going to a therapist? Was there someone there for you because was able to pour into you even with all the pain that you carried for 9 months?
Shirley, no. Okay. And here's why, and I think most of us do it. We announced to our congregations on a Sunday. And that Sunday morning, we were engaged on that Friday evening. That Sunday morning, we formally announced it to our congregations. And when I announced to mine, there was a celebration that went up in that church. I mean, the people rejoiced because they've seen me alone, and in their heart they wanted me to have someone because they all had somebody. That year I performed 7 marriages in our ministry in the first 7 months of ministry that year. And so it was this great celebration. on Tuesday of that same week, it was called off. I had to go back that Sunday. So
what was the time?
You have to read the book.
How long were you engaged?
We were engaged. We were officially engaged 5 days.
Wow.
Friday to Tuesday. We had gone to the church the day before announcing it to our church. We were out together, so people knew what was happening. But we officially announced it that Saturday before the Sunday. We had gone and sat in the church and planned our entire service. And there are other factors, and you'll have to get the book, Shirley.
Okay.
But what happened was I shut down. I wouldn't let anybody minister to me. I didn't want anybody to know. When I did, even the congregation, there were those who were close to me, my adjutants and all, who knew. In fact, that's who I called when it happened. And of course, my family, my brothers and sisters. But I wouldn't let anybody in. I wouldn't let anybody in. And I went, and it was only until probably 5 months later that I even began to talk about it. I never even gave the church an explanation.
Wow. Yeah, but you talked about what happened in your book and why it was called Thus. So tell the audience how they can purchase your book.
Okay, He Heals the Broken Heart. You can go right into Google or your browser and type the title in. He Heals the Brokenhearted, Living and Loving After Rejection. And it will take you to my publisher page where you can purchase it, or you can go to my website, HelenKennedyMinistries.org. You can pick it up there. We also have a Facebook page. You can go there. And there's a link that's available. It's about 200 pages, and those who have gotten copies of it said that they couldn't put it down until they finished it. And then you might want to pass it on. It provides you the steps that I took to walk out. And that says the Holy Spirit. Back to your question, it was Holy Spirit. I went to New York. They were planning my pastor's appreciation, and they didn't know what to do. And someone came and said, "Pastor, what do you want? Do you want a trip?" And I said, "Well, you know, I haven't seen my son." So they flew me out to Washington State, and where he lived was in a valley, and mountains were all around us. And when I got there, you talk about depression, Val, I slept for 3 straight days, and then I wept for 3 straight days. And in the weeping, I went back as far in my childhood, and things just came. I wept out everything I needed to weep out. On that 7th day, when I woke up, it is like I was a brand new me. I told my son, "Let's go sightseeing, let's get out." And where he is, it's a valley that's one big circle, like a track, a racetrack. And you just go round and round. And I looked at the mountains around us, and I said, "You know what, Dennis? I do not want to live the rest of my life going around a mountain."
Hmm.
It's time to ascend the mountain. And when I left Washington State and came back, callers, I was healed. I was healed.
Amen. There was a movie out, where there was a full wedding and the groom decided to call it off at the wedding, and her girlfriends went and took her on a honeymoon anyway, and she cried and slept and cried and slept, and it's true. It's just a process. You have to walk it out, even if it's not because of a breakup. With me, it was domestic violence plus a dissolved marriage after 19 years. Shirley was fighting cancer, lupus, and her marriage ending all at the same time. It's like at that moment, if I can go back and think about that time in my life, it was as though that everything just stopped, that I had just been living for so long trying to be and please everybody. And then when it came down to me, I felt that the world abandoned me, God abandoned me, people abandoned me, everybody abandoned me. And I felt the isolation. That's why the depression set in, yes, because it was like a wall had been built around me, and I was stuck. So sometimes you do have to wait it out, walk it out, but what about those individuals who aren't strong enough to wait out the process?
If you are on this line today, this evening, reach out to Valerie, reach out to Shirley, reach out to myself. You have to begin to release your pain, your sorrow, your hurt. You have to. And let me say this on a note that you just said, Val. I was 5 days technically engaged. We were in the relationship 4 months. We had already scheduled the wedding date and all. There are people that are left at the altar,
mm-hmm,
okay? And people's husbands or wives walk out the door and just never come home, and they never hear from them. Our traumas, no two individuals are the same, no two situations are the same, and what I may be able to take, somebody else may not be able to take. What I experienced was certainly not as devastating as some other people's experience, but it was my pain. It was the most painful thing that I have experienced in all my life. And what it did is it helped me to identify. Now on the other side of it, I can see that, and I asked the Lord, you know, was I going through this just for somebody else? No, because in the process, I had to go back and deal with things that had been hidden under the mattress,
mm-hmm,
per se.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
During like the relationship
process,
with your father.
Yes, which didn't even cross. I'm just typing, and this comes up. You know, it comes up as I'm writing this book. I learned that one of my children had been molested and had never said anything. So even in all of this, I'm still working through, but we're not alone. And if you're on this call, you have to reach out to someone, because there is a purpose to your life. There is a purpose, to, and you can have joy. But as long as you close yourself in, you withhold yourself from people. We had a pastor's wife who committed suicide. Now, as you said at the top of the show, you have more men who are checking out. And their pressures in this day are great. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. But there are people who have been through, and they can assist you, And we can pray together. I mean, the Spirit of the Lord just gave me word. He gave me word. He fed me. I knew how to go to him. But if you don't know, there is somebody that's in flesh and bones that you can go to who will walk, and it may not be anybody that you even know. The psychologist helped me to process my grief. But not only that, she said to me, Helen, because there were things that I felt about, I felt like I had to have a spouse who was in ministry. I felt like I was trying to find the mirror image of my father. Every person that I said yes to somehow, some way was just like my father. And she says, Helen, you're just like your father. You need somebody who was like your mother, who had the temperament of your mother. And I'm like, you know what? You're absolutely right. She says, because it would be a conflict. So she helped me to process some other things. So that's why you need to talk. You need to talk. You need to open up. And if you're one that's been rejected or walked out on, the rejection could be you got turned down from a job for a job. It doesn't necessarily have to be a familial relationship. Listen. You can live, and there's always something better for you. And I'm experiencing my happy thereafter without Mr. Pastor.
Yeah, I like that.
I love it.
We have a lot of people holding where they want to do a question or comment. So when I open up the line and give the last digit of your number, please revert to 60 seconds in communicating what it is you wanted, a question or comment that you want to make regarding Helen Kennedy tonight, who's the author of He Heals the Broken Heart. She's an author, inspirational speaker, because she is a pastor, and she's a life coach. And we're talking real life, real issues. You know, for so many times, we always brush things under the carpet and say, oh, just pray about it, fast our way through it. But she's a living witness that, you know, the leadership bleeds, the leadership goes through situations, and we know full well we can't just pray it through. What does that look like? What does that mean? Well, you can read her book, He Heals the Brokenhearted. You can connect with her on Facebook, Helen M. Kennedy on Facebook, or you can send her an email. What's your email address, Helen?
Email is coach@helenmkennedy.com.
Okay.
Coach@helenmkennedy.com.
@helenmkennedy.com. Caller 2175, you're live. Hello, caller 2175, you have a question or comment?
Hi, this is Marie. How are you, everybody? That was so wonderful. I tell you, I'm so happy that she cleared everything up and that she was letting everybody know that she didn't have sex, because people also think all the time that we're supposed to have sex, and sex is really not the thing. And I'm glad that she cleared that up. And I just thank you for everything that you've shared. And I know that's a wonderful book, and I'm hoping that everybody will try and get it so they can get some info out of it. Thanks for letting me share that. Love you all.
Thank you so much for that. Caller 1239, you're live. Caller 1239, you're live. Okay, they probably have a problem getting their phone off of mute. Okay. Shirley, you have any further questions for Helen? We have 5 minutes. We always run out of time when we're doing shows like this.
I know, I don't have any questions. I just want to say congratulations. Thank you for all that you allow God to do in your life.
because, you know, we as writers and everything, we have to allow him to work through us. And to hear you talk about how after you wrote a lot of things, you look back and say, wow, did that come out of me? But that only shows you that you were being obedient and you listened when he spoke to you. Thank you so much for sharing that. So many people don't understand. Writing comes from what he puts in you for you to bring out to share with everyone. So thank you. I appreciate
that. Thank you, Cheryl. And you and Val have definitely been an inspiration to me. So I thank the both of you for trailblazing. You know, during this, I was in school for my national paralegal certification. And I just dropped out. You know, everything that I was doing, I just dropped out. And that was one of the things, all of these things that I didn't accomplish, and all of that was tied to the depression, to the rejection, to all of that. But, and when I finished writing, when I was done, I don't know if this happened to you, but I let out another cry.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There was another cry that it's done. You know, I can close this and move on to something else. So you do have to close out. You have to close the doors, but make sure there's nothing behind that door that will come out later. So just take care of it. Those of you that are still listening, you know, forgive those who have hurt you and move on and live your best life and love. Love again. You can have a pure love all over again. I'm not sure if I want to be married. If the Lord sends someone, that's fine. But I like the fact that I can travel and I don't have to answer to anybody. And for companionship, I have some great male friends.
Mm-hmm. Well, I enjoyed you being on the show, and thank you so much. And thank you for allowing me the opportunity to write the foreword for your book.
Yes, you did.
Yes, because, and you said that next, and I talked about that in the forward about there's always a next. And when you're going through a situation that seems unbearable at the moment, where you feel like you can fold up in a fetal position and go back in your mother's womb, unfold yourself, get up, and breathe. Give yourself a good cough, give yourself a good scream, give yourself a good cry, but above all, breathe. There's life in you, there is more in you, and we need you. If I would have folded up, I wouldn't have written four books or started the Solar Woman Foundation and reached over 50,000 people. If I had folded up, if Helen had folded up and quit, she would not have been able to write He Heals the Brokenhearted. If Shirley would have folded up, she wouldn't have been able to form Against All Odds and do events every year, empowering individuals with cancer and lupus and heart disease and mental challenges. If you remember to breathe every day, you can set someone free.
Yes.
So reach out to Helen, Helen M. Kennedy on Facebook. You can reach Shirley on Facebook. Shirley Park is on Facebook. And also Valerie Parker, of course, is on Facebook. Send a message, reach out, and let us know how you enjoyed the show. And tune in next Tuesday for another Hot Topic from the Soul. And remember to breathe.
Breathe. Thank you for having me, Val and Shirley.
Thank you, Helen, for coming on.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much. This has been another Hot Topics from the Soul.
Good night.